Good morning, everyone. You're listening to the World Teacher Program for Share International New Zealand on Planet FM 104.6. Each Friday morning, we bring you information from the teachers of the Ageless Wisdom. The purpose of our program is to introduce Maitreya, the world teacher for the Age of Aquarius. Maitreya does not come alone. He brings with him the Masters of Wisdom, a group of highly evolved teachers. They work in many fields and can teach us the art of living, how to live in right relationship with each other. With their inspiration, we can transform our civilization, creating justice and peace for us all.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the program. The theme for today is the growth of consciousness, and I'll be reading extracts from a talk by Benjamin Krem that was given back in 1992 at a meditation group conference in San Francisco, USA, and also excerpts from his similar talk in the Netherlands. To start with, here is an introduction to the subject, which was sourced from the January-February 1993 issue of Share International magazine. Throughout the world, there is a growing understanding that humanity is undergoing a profound change in consciousness. This reflects itself in many ways, not least in the efforts being made to explore the nature of consciousness itself, to investigate the connection between consciousness, mind, and brain, and to study the effect that these three, singly or in unison, may have on matter and the natural world. The old mechanistic views of nature and of the forces at work within her are fast disappearing, and a new awareness is dawning of the unity underlying all manifestation. More and more, the concept that all is energy, that energy and matter are different states of one reality and can be affected by thought, is being accepted on a wide scale and is changing men's view of life. Enlightenment is growing apace, and soon the methods and technology will be found to demonstrate this fact. This is of profound significance for the future evolution of the race. As we enter the new age, a new urgency is being felt to explore the outer and the subjective worlds, and to understand the relation between these two aspects of creation. Many scientists around the world are bending their inquiries in that direction, prompted by the need to demonstrate and prove their intuitive belief that all is interconnected. The acceptance of a super-personal self or soul is gradually gaining ground and is leading to a new synthesis in men's view of reality. Eventually, the common ground of all such investigations will exist in the awareness that consciousness is the attribute of the soul, that mind and brain are conduits, vehicles for its manifestation, and that there is no break or separation in the connecting links between them. Until now, the nervous system has been seen as the pathway for signals, electrical in nature, from the brain. The brain, the command post of that intricate system, initiates the actions and reflexes, mental, emotional, and physical, by which we recognize and demonstrate our livingness. To a limited degree, this, of course, is true. The complex computer of the physical brain does indeed coordinate and organize the multifarious information and stimuli streaming from moment to moment through that sensitive apparatus. However, as understanding grows of the nature and source of consciousness, a truer picture will emerge of the status and function of the brain, is the focal point for the infinite variety of impulses reaching it from higher principles. For many, too, the mind is the man. They see themselves through identification as mental beings, capable of thought and action, completely autonomous and separate, whose very existence stems from the ability to think and measure. This, likewise, is but a shadow of the true relationship existing between man and mind. Man's mind is an instrument, a body, more or less sensitive, depending on the person, by which the mental planes can be contacted and known. The plane of mind, the mind belt, is infinite in extent and serves as the conduit for all mental experience. When men realize this, they will understand how telepathy is the natural result of this relationship, and a new era of mutual communication and understanding will begin. The nervous system will be understood as the connecting link between the soul and its vehicles, the means by which the soul in incarnation grips and demonstrates itself through its reflection. In this way, consciousness, the nature of the soul, expands and grows, shedding its light through all the planes, awakening man to his destiny as a son of God. Benjamin Krem begins by stating, "It is a truism to say that as we enter the new age, a great change in consciousness is taking place in humanity." Maitreya himself has said in one of his messages, "My coming means change. The greatest change will be in the hearts and minds of men." This is the essence of the New Age. It is, of course, about the construction of a new civilization, about new political, economic, religious, and social structures, about living together in harmony, in peace, on a world scale for the first time. The change of consciousness which is taking place is even more profound than any outer changes in the world might suggest. Obviously, they are necessary, but they are outer. However, the outer is always the reflection of the inner. If inwardly we are distraught in disharmony with ourselves, with our environment, with our friends, our family, and so on, then the outer forms which we make, what we express, the conditions which, moment to moment, we create around us, will be disharmonious. They will not have that kind of easeful, harmless relationship which is the essence of equilibrium. The more we are in equilibrium, the more our environment is in equilibrium. This is the basis of the need for harmlessness. Through harmlessness, we create the conditions in which we make no negative karma. What holds us back in the expansion of consciousness on our evolutionary journey is precisely karma, the weight of our own individual karma. Everything, therefore, that can be done to lighten our karma is an aid towards the completion of our journey to perfection. The experience of a shift in consciousness, of course, is not new. It occurs at the beginning of every new age. As the new energies, this time the energies of Aquarius, make themselves felt in human life, they necessarily affect our consciousness. The first thing to bear in mind, I would say, in this question of changing consciousness, is that it demonstrates itself in concerns. Scientists, philosophers, thinkers of all kinds, teachers, investigators in all fields, are now seeking, along their own particular paths, various means of understanding the nature of reality. That reality is changing under the microscope, under the power of thought, through the individual experience of meditation or whatever, of various thinkers, philosophers, and scientists. Modern quantum physics has, I would say, led the way in this, and has brought the modern scientific mind to the acceptance of ideas no longer simply as speculation, which have been esoteric axioms for countless thousands of years. Ancient rishis, masters of the ancient wisdom, have postulated various relationships, correspondences and connections between the divine and its expression in humanity, in nature, in the various hierarchies and kingdoms, which only today is modern science beginning to investigate and to find to be true. That is what is causing this change in consciousness. It is both the result of a shift in consciousness by the leading units of the race in the first place and, as a result of their investigations, writings and teachings, a gradual outflow of this awareness into the world, taken up by publications and media of all kinds. This is gradually saturating the mind belt of the world. We are living in an era in which what was once magical, mysterious and mystical is now taken for granted as facts in nature. Our modern communications, television, radio, electrical communications through computerization and so on, are leading us to see the interconnectedness of all aspects of life. The investigation of the nature of consciousness itself is, as the Master says, going forward apace. People are beginning to discover that you cannot separate the man looking at the world from the world, from his experience of the world. The inner and the outer, the subject and the object are closely related. You cannot look at the world except through your own individual sight. The quality of your experience of the world depends absolutely on your conscious awareness. Your conscious awareness depends on the quality of the instrument of awareness, your vehicles, physical, emotional, and mental. The difference between a master and a probationary disciple, for example, is that the master has an apparatus, a vehicle of conscious awareness, which allows him an awareness of vistas of being, of reality, which we cannot even begin to imagine exist. So far are they beyond our everyday consciousness that we have no opening into them. If you remember that humanity has full consciousness only on the physical plane and imperfect consciousness on the emotional or astral plane, and only the beginnings of consciousness on the mental plane, and then only the few, you can see how impossible it is to talk about consciousness in other than very relative terms indeed. Consciousness grows by aspiration towards that which lies above it. But of course, we are lazy. It is the hard way, and that is why the path of evolution is slow and long and arduous. The way forward is precisely that of renunciation. Renunciation is another word for detachment. The process, the technique of renunciation is detachment. Detachment is difficult, but absolutely essential in the process of evolution. It comes about through an expansion of consciousness as the soul grips its vehicle and the realization that we are not this physical body, these emotional reactions, these constructions of our mind, that the true man or woman is that which lies back of these and is using these vehicles for expression. The soul is a reflection of the monad, demonstrating the divinity of God. The path of evolution is a series of at-one-ments, first with the soul, then with the monad and divinity itself, what Maitreya calls the self, the Lord, the absolute. The process is one of detaching step by step from identification with the unreal. The unreal being that which we take to be real, this physical plane world. When the fourth initiation, called the Great Renunciation, is taken, we demonstrate our ability to renounce everything, even life itself, because then we realize that we are life, that there is nothing else but life, that we are that one life. Firstly, we renounce the appetites, the apparent needs of the physical body, the emotional reactions of the astral body, the constructions, the beliefs, the ideologies, the memories of the mental body, all of that conditioning. The old mechanistic view is that the soul, if it exists, is up there. The mind, which is us, is somewhere else. And our mind is the man or woman. This concept presupposes separate aspects of reality, but in fact, there is no separation. The soul is closely connected with the mind with the brain. It is a unitary mechanism through which the soul can work, demonstrating itself eventually in the most marvellous way. To many people, the brain is omnipotent. We even say, we will one day make computers that are really superior to the human brain. The human brain to most people is the person. It is the brain, we think, who thinks. It is the brain who knows, who remembers or misremembers. The brain is the all-powerful mechanism directing the whole process of our living experience. But this is not true. The brain is but a marvellous, wonderfully sensitive, intricate computer into which is fed all experience coming from the soul through the mental plane. Into this computer, all information is fed, all the reactions of the nervous system, of the astral body, and of the physical body are likewise fed into the brain. When the body runs out of energy, it gets hungry and sends the message to the brain. The brain says, go to McDonald's. The body tells the brain, and the brain tells us to go and get something to eat. We experience cold or heat. The brain tells us, gives us the signal, that our body is feeling cold and we need to cover it with an extra blanket. These are all instinctual reactions by which the animal kingdom has evolved. The nervous system sends signals to the brain which computes this information from all levels. So the brain is an extraordinary instrument, but it is physical. It pertains only to the physical plane, the physical body, and it dies at death. Using the brain is the thinker. Using the mind is the thinker. We have to find out who that thinker is and identify with the thinker. As we identify more and more with the thinker, so are we imbued with the consciousness of the thinker. The thinker is the higher man or the soul, the transpersonal self, the ego, whatever you would like to call it. As we identify with that higher aspect, we are imbued with its nature. Our consciousness grows and expands. Growth of consciousness comes about precisely through the awakening of ourselves to identification with that higher aspect. The nervous system is seen as a mechanism of response by which the brain can know what signals it needs to send to the feet or the stomach or the digestive juices, the chemistry of the body. If left alone, it does it marvellously. If interfered with by neurotic identification with our emotions, we can inhibit this mechanism and cause indigestion and various illnesses. These illnesses result from emotional disturbance of the natural, perfectly organized function of the brain to look after our physical body. The physical body, in terms of principle, is inert, simply acted upon and responsive to impress from higher principles. That is why mind over matter is a fact. I think, therefore I am. It should be, I am, therefore I think. It is because we are thinking beings that we think. And because we have a vehicle called mind, we are able to demonstrate that fact. Unfortunately, I can't finish this article, so sorry about that. I hope you enjoyed what you heard. And if you'd like more information, check out the website, share-international.org. Thanks again for listening and wishing you all a lovely week.